here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. It's Mr. 100 and One Night Only. Hopefully not for One Night Only. Normally this show is called Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man. Of course, Allie, you know Asa Gray would be here with us.
Yes.
But tonight, Asa Gray, unfortunately, unable to make it. Real life obligations, real life job got in his way. So instead, we called in a special guest, and we couldn't be more thrilled to have him here with us tonight. So tonight only, it's Mr. 100 and the show off. Mr. Dolph Ziggler is here with us tonight. Dolph, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
I've seen better days. I'm just now getting off of a real serious case of bronchitis. This is actually my first show back in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Whoa. All right. Well, at least you know you'll feel better and you won't feel like you're passing corona on everyone else, I guess. That's great.
That's
you
true.
You know you passed it on.
They didn't give me the corona test, and I was a little bummed out by that because we didn't, at the time, we didn't have a case here in Missouri. Now we have. Someone stole it from me in St. Louis. I could have been patient zero, and they robbed me.
Oh, someone's already number one. It's not even worth posting on Instagram about that. Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's extremely unfortunate.
Yeah.
Of course, my name is Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, of course, Allie, not actually A-Bear.
Hello.
And Dolph Ziggler joining us for what I hope is the first of many, many, many appearances on the show.
Well, I mean, I've heard a lot about you guys, especially since your intro, so I'm really excited to hear about it.
From the moment the intro started till now, he has been captivated, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now, Dolph, of course, I don't know if you know this, a lot of people have been saying that you and I are actually very, very similar.
I did not know that part.
Yes, we're both human. We both have skin, eyes. Now, see, what I did there is I presented what bad humor is. Because I wanted to just make it that much easier for the listeners to tell when good comedy is being done. That's what I do here on the show. I educate.
Holy cow. That was your, I mean, I wouldn't open with it, but I mean, you already got him, you know, you already got him and I kind of set him up and knock him down and you were coming on a stage.
Right.
And I would let you end the show with that and I'll make you stand there and just have everyone just sit and look at you with their resting C word face. Just disgruntled and dismantled, asking for their money back. But to be, you know, just like the show this coming Thursday, it's only fun. So it's too late.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I did want to mention that. Let's hit it right from the beginning. First off, I want to thank you, of course, Allie and myself and Asa. We all work with Cape Championship Wrestling, and you did a fantastic video for your performance this Thursday at the Laughing Gas. And you also mentioned CCW in that. A lot of local fans who are already big fans of you, even bigger fans now after that. That was absolutely fantastic, and we want to say how much we appreciated the, you know, giving us the mention there.
How did the big show go? I heard about it. I got some details. I got to look it up online before I sent the video, but I didn't see the results. How did everything come out?
It was good. It was a great show. Rhino was there. A lot of great fans. Fantastic. Couldn't be happier with it. And, a big part of that, I mean, that rub you gave us, that was 100%. I mean, that was just incredible and very, very appreciative.
Happy to be a part of it, man. A lot of fans. There's wrestling fans. There's comedy fans. There's movie fans. There's horror movie buffs. And everybody, when you start to realize, when you talk to people at conventions or at shows or at signings, you realize that people have the same, you know, I was a wrestling fan myself. I started at 5 years old, and I went to my very first show with my dad, and we sat in the nosebleed seats. And then I grew up in Cleveland, and we used to go to the Cleveland All-Pro Wrestling shows, which is now AIW, which those guys run a really cool show. And it's just, I'm a fan, and then you bump into some people who are comedy fans, and then you come to my shows, you see half the crowd is there to hear some comedy because I made fun of them on Twitter, and half of them are there to get their replica belt signed by me. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, actually I had quite a couple questions about that, you know, the difference between the wrestling fans and the comedy fans. But I do want to mention, as we said a second ago, this Thursday, March 12th at the Laughing Gas here in Cape Girardeau, you're going to be doing stand-up comedy, one-night-only event with your brother Ryan. It's $25 for the show, and I believe you get there's a $45 meet-and-greet with you, correct?
Yeah, and the really cool part of these is sometimes people are just there, you know, whether they've never been to a comedy show where they wanted to see me, you know, a WWE guy out of his element or something. I've been having a blast with these shows, and more people are coming back when we go back to different cities. But the cool thing is the VIP meet and greet is one of my absolute favorite parts.
Mm-hmm.
You get to talk with me for a few minutes, sign whatever you want, take a picture, and people usually have, you know, tons of things, whether it's photos, replica titles, gear worn. I've signed people's skin before, and it freaks me out. But also, you know,
especially in this day and age,
if I'm signing your skin. But you know what I mean.
It's, yeah.
But it's a blast. It's a really good time. And my favorite part of this whole show is, cause I still am like terrified when I step on stage to do some jokes. And a lot of those people in that crowd are there to see you. The guy that they know for the last 15 years tries to steal the show every night. And I, you know, I'm going on like my 15th time stepping on a stage telling jokes. And they're like, all right, make me laugh. And you're hoping to live up to it. But I've had some practice. I've done some great shows. But at the end of the night, the finale of every single show, we do a live Ask the Heel Q&A, very similar to like a Q&A I would do on Twitter, to where there's kind of no hold barred, no question is off limits. And I always make it very interesting.
And I can imagine, I've seen your interactions on Twitter and stuff. I followed you. I followed you for a very, very long time. You've been one of my favorites for as long as I can remember. Even, you know, back in the old Kerwin White days, I've been such a fan of everything. But first off,
my great 10-week run as Kerwin White's caddy.
You know what? Memorable. We still talk about it today. It was fantastic. I have a question. I have a friend named Hunter Hendricks, Double H. He was the host of Real Rock here in Cape for a long, long time. Talked to many, many a wrestler. He had a question for you, and I told him I was going to ask you, just to jump off here. Okay. Apparently in 2013, Chris Jericho threw your shirt into the crowd, and Hunter caught it, and he wanted to know if you want that back. He's been holding on to it for about 7 years now, and just wanted to get your blessing before you move forward with it.
You know what? I would hate for him to take the entire plaque that he, you know, made into it and drilled into the wall. It's probably not going to get, you know, he probably will get his money back on a refund when he turns in the lease for the house. I'd hate for all of that to come crumbling down. It could be a load-bearing wall that he's got a shrine up to on the wall. I don't want to take that away from him. I've moved on. I've gotten a new shirt. Jericho's gotten a new company to wrestle for. I think we all should just move on here and call it true.
I think that's very classy. That's very classy of you. I also do want to mention, because he'll cry forever if I don't, that one of our CCW guys, Trending Trent Daniels, wanted me to compliment you on your abs. He didn't know if you were aware of how spectacular they were.
You know, I appreciate, you know, when artists appreciate other artists, you know, suffering for their work. I, you know, don't have cheap days, food-wise. So it really screws me up, but it makes me feel good when I got to be out there topless wrestling every Friday night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and speaking of wrestling, now, you've wrestled in Cape Girardeau before, but this is the first time you've come here to actually do stand-up, right? This is your first time here as a non-wrestler.
Yeah, very true.
How is that different? What's that feeling like coming into a town? You know, because we're a big wrestling town here. We're a big fan of wrestling, and a lot of guys love Dolph Ziggler, the wrestler. But now coming back as a comedian, do you feel a lot of pressure coming in like that?
Of course, of course. I mean, if, you know, I was having an off day or, you know, something like phoning it in, I could rely on the entire roster to come through and, you know, save the show, which I would never actually do in real life. But that is a possibility that could happen. And, but it's me by myself. My brother will be coming along with me. He's going to host the show. He's going to host the Q&A, and him and I will roast each other on stage a little bit, back and forth. But it's not like wrestling, to where, you know, something goes wrong. If a joke doesn't land, or someone messes up, or someone gets injured, and everyone's just staring at you, there's no one else out there with you
right.
to save the day, to fix it, to work with. All eyes are looking at you. And they tell you, entertain me and come back with it. And I've had some good nights, man. I've had great nights where things went great and the crowds were great. And when you have a great wrestling crowd town, you have a great comedy crowd town. If they're there to be entertained, they want to have fun. I feed off of them and they feed off of me. And that's what makes any kind of show great, whether it's a rock concert, a comedy show, a wrestling show. When you're happy to be there, and I'm very excited to be there. I live for this. Like, I will be pacing around 2 hours before that show, going over my notes, flipping out, probably having a lot of Jack Daniels fire, and then getting ready to be to step out there and deliver. And I live for this, man. And one day I won't, but it was wrestling 15 years in. I still feel it when I step into the ring. I still feel it when my name gets announced and I come to the stage.
Well, Laughing Gas, you know, the place that you're going to, the N2O Lounge, they're killing it when it comes to the comedy stuff. We've got Mick Foley coming in, mm-hmm. I believe, is it later this month? Or I'm going to have to double check on that. I know tickets still available for that,
too. Yeah, I think it's at the
end
of this month.
But that's absolutely incredible. You mentioned earlier with the, you know, the crossover between your wrestling fans and your stand-up fans. How weird is it to go to places like Cape Girardeau or, you know, any other places on your tour that you've been doing and to talk to people that don't know you from wrestling, that they know you from comedy, and that their, you know, their Dolph Ziggler is the comedian.
It's wild because it's one thing to be a grassroots, maybe an independent wrestler, and you can be on some shows and bounce around. But when you're me, I have a full-time job to where I travel, and I get a chance to go do something on my own. I get a chance to come into Cape Girardeau by myself. It's, you know, it's amazing. And someone says, I know you from Twitter. That's how I met Sarah Tiana. She actually usually works these shows with me, and she was going to be coming with me to the show, but she just had a baby last week. So that's why my brother's stepping in to take over. But she's someone who writes jokes for the roast, and her and I went toe-to-toe on the roast battle on Comedy Central together. She's so great and funny, and we purely met by her saying I had a good joke on Twitter, and then we became friends, and it blew my mind. I go, someone, it's one thing when someone says a nice thing about you, that's great, because wrestling fans are like, hey, that's a funny joke because I like you from wrestling. But Sarah, who didn't know me from wrestling, just saw some guy write a joke, and like, that's good, and you know it works, so it just drives you to do better. So when you go to that time to do that meet and greet, and some people are saying, if you're a wrestling fan, they've never been to a comedy show before, and you go, wow, this is exciting that I got you in the door, because I've lived watching comedy specials or going to live comedy, and then you have someone who says, I know you from social media, and right. You're making jokes. I wanted to see if you could back it up in person, and you go, you bet your ass I'm going to try, you know?
Yeah, we had Jeff Hardy on the show about a year and a half, 2 years ago at this point.
Yeah, it might be closer to 2 years.
We had Jeff on, and we were talking about him, you know, him transitioning into a music career after wrestling and kind of doing the split thing with his band, Paroxygen, and you know, still doing it in the ring. With your comedy and you know, the acting and everything, has it been a natural transition for you, or was there some stumbling blocks? And, you know, is this what you see yourself doing when your time in the ring is over?
I mean, it depends. There's both, because there's so many things where you want to catch everyone's attention, just like at the beginning of a wrestling match. You want to tell a story all the way through. You want people hanging on your every word. You want to entertain and deliver the entire time and build up to a big finale in the main event. Of course, one day I would love to do this full time, but I'm such a student of comedy that I know I need about 5,000 or 7,000 reps just to know what the hell I'm doing and find my voice. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm at like show 23 or something. So
right.
I got a long way to go. And each year I think I've doubled the shows, you know, since I started doing one or two. And then we got up to like, I think I ended up doing like 15 last year, which is really cool. And we're going to do a ton this year. And it's mostly because word of mouth, people enjoy the show. And I only post on social media. And people who have been at the show, whether they like the merchandise that, you know, the non-WWE, I got t-shirts and seltzer koozies and hats. And, I get to design them exactly what I would want, you know, not technically what WWE would sell. So it's kind of a cool thing. And then, I always take some kind of, a percentage out of all the merchandise I sell, and I throw it into the giant donation to the Wounded Warriors Project at the end of the year.
Nice.
So we're trying to get back to those heroes who are trying to get jobs.
Right.
Everything I do is to try and lead to something else. And one day down the line, perhaps this could be part of it. I could see maybe being a political analyst on one of the channels and also doing stand-up comedy. But it's hard to think about, you know, being done when I feel so pain-free. I feel like a million bucks. I feel like I look almost 36 years old instead of 39. So I feel like I can still play, that I'm a young go-getter. So I really enjoy what I'm doing, and I don't like sitting at home. I like staying busy. I like getting the reps in, whether it's wrestling or comedy. So that's why some of these weeks, 2 or 3 weeks in a row, I won't even go home. I'll just do my laundry in a hotel and hop onto a couple comedy shows. And I'm doing like, I think 7 or 8 shows with Mick Foley over the next 2 months, and
right
a big one and WrestleMania week. So I just want to get those reps in and deliver with these shows. And so far it gets more and more people each time.
Well, you're still going strong in wrestling. Absolutely. You know, we just watched you Sunday in the tag team Elimination Chamber match on WWE. Of course, I love what you're doing with Otis and Mandy Rose. That's my favorite thing going right now. but I think it would be fair to say, and you might agree, that the rumor mill, I think you kept it in business for years, because every time, you know, every couple of years, it's Dolph Ziggler's done with wrestling. He's fed up with it. He's leaving. He's leaving WWE. But you seem still very, very passionate about it. Is this something that you want to keep this parallel life with wrestling and comedy going for as long as possible? Or
I really would like to do it as long as possible. And even after I can't, wrestle, I'll still have that mindset of, oh, I can just get out there for one more run. Like, it's hard to give it up, man. It's something that I think about all the time, even on a day off. Like, where can I go do something that everyone can be looking at me because I'm such a psycho like that? But,
right.
I wouldn't even say I wear my heart on my sleeve because I don't have a heart. I am a businessman. I love what I do. But, I think I'm someone who gets more frustrated with my company than even the fans do who, you know, write things all day or tell you what's going on. And it's that nobody asks for more out of my company than me. And nobody stands up when, you know, something doesn't make sense or you're frustrated about something that's genuine, not just hurt feelings, but just when you want something to be great and you know it could be and you feel like you might not be able to have that. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who steps in and says, this is how it needs to be. And then sometimes, you know, there have been two or three times where I did about a 7-year run where I didn't miss a day of work to go to my best friend's wedding, to do anything. I never called off. I never missed out on work because I just wanted to be there every day to do it. And then at some point, everybody gets hurt at some point or goes to do a movie or takes some time off or leave, I go, I never did that. You can't see me on TV every single week for 10 years in a row and be excited to see me, even if I'm great at my job. So I beg, I go, I just have to go away for a little bit. And for about a year, I kept getting told every couple of weeks that it was going to happen. And I never got to plan around it. And then they told me, all right, fine, this is it. You're leaving the title in the ring, and you're out of here. And for 3 months, no questions asked. And I went, awesome. I'm going to book a bunch of stand-up and go read a bunch of books in my backyard. This is going to be fantastic. And a week and a half later, they said, you're coming right back. And I go, guys, I really just need to not be seen on TV. I don't need a break. I'm not burned out. I'm still 100% better than everybody else. I feel great. And finally, I got a chance to take a break. And they gave me about, I think I want to say it was 2.5 months off. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and got to fight with Kofi. And it was a blast doing that, just being a slightly different character. You know me for 15 years. I can't come back and say, hey, I'm a plumber now or an artist. I'm still me, you know, but it had to be a different type of mindset. And
right.
It was really fun to work with Kofi, who's someone I've had 500 matches with, and he's won 497 of them, but it's always a blast.
Yeah, Kofi, the whole run with him, you know, with the title of speaking of our co-host, Asa Gray, huge Kofi Kingston fan. When he won the title, I think it was the happiest I've ever seen him.
I think that's one of the best moments, I think, in the last couple of years that I can remember when it comes down to not just fans being excited or just the guys in the back being excited. Guys and gals in the back. This was one of those times I wasn't there. I hated that I wasn't there so much because I was in the middle of a little bit of a hiatus. But when Kofi won, that was one of those very few times when the locker room and the fans were all on the same page. I think that's pretty remarkable.
Oh yeah, we do pay-per-views every week. We own a game store, independent video game store, and we watch all the pay-per-views together on Sundays. And yeah, you know, we criticize wrestling we have a podcast for it, but that was one of those genuine moments where it's like everything was right with the world for a few minutes. You know, everything was perfect.
Couldn't agree more.
Speaking of taking a break and, you know, doing the comedy thing, I was kind of curious. You see a lot of guys in wrestling that kind of take that hiatus and really find a foot in Hollywood. You know, I can think back, my earliest memory for it would be like Hulk Hogan. You know, I'm a 90s kid, so I grew up and I've been watching. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they were great films, but Suburban Commando, Mr. Nanny, you know, stuff like that. Of course, Roddy Piper and They Live. You got The Rock. Now John Cena is really starting to kind of get his foothold in Hollywood. Is that something you're afraid of or looking forward to, that you could hit it off really big with the entertainment, with the comedy and the acting? And do you think that could become your main hustle?
It really could. I'm absolutely not afraid. I've had a lot of fun doing some things. Like I've gotten a chance to do a bunch of different things at Comedy Central, which is really cool. Even WWE let me do a movie for a couple of weeks, and I filmed it in Canada. But here's the thing. I didn't even get a vacation then because they brought a camera crew there. They booked a live event in the middle of my shoot. I wrestled there and then went back to the set, which is really funny. So I couldn't even get a vacation to go do a movie, but I got to do a movie, and it was a blast, and it was fun. And it's one thing, like, I mean, as much as I could say how great I am, but right now I'm not the John Cena or the Rock, of our company. So you tend to get a few more doors open when you are that face of the company.
Right.
But from what I've done so far, I actually just did a really fun movie with John Morrison that we just posted about on social media that's coming out pretty soon. But I wish we had a chance to take a couple of days off in the last 10 years, because I would have done a little bit more acting work. But I did move out to LA, and I do some comedy shows, and I will be just starting to get going with a couple connections and doing some auditions. So I'm really looking forward to it. With our schedule now, being able to do 3 days a week, where, Friday is SmackDown, Saturday and Sunday are the live events, and Monday is that Raw, I have a few days a week where I can actually make a film career work while I do this. So like I told you, I don't want to sit at home. I want to stay busy, and I want to keep getting better at everything. And every time I do a movie or do a show or do something with Comedy Central or a stand-up show, it makes me that much better and that much more of a draw, hopefully long-term, when I come back to WWE the next week. So I absolutely am very excited to be getting involved in some things like that.
One of Allie's favorite shows you did a guest appearance on, and she had to talk to you about it. Allie, what did you truly enjoy Mr. Ziggler's performance in?
On Adam Ruins Everything. Whenever
I love that show.
I don't even know how to say your character's name.
Neither did he.
That's, yeah.
The great, was it Placeboni?
Well, I mean, it was a take on Placebo, but adding an Oni to it. Yeah, so I wasn't really sure how to say it either. But yeah, I freaking love that show anyway, and having a chance to go do it was mind-blowing. Like, that was totally just, that wasn't WWE, that was just, I was in LA for a few days, and they asked if I would do it. I said, hell yeah, I love this show. By the way, funny and smart is such a turn-on for my brain. That's why I like watching Archer or reading, people who are politically funny and funny, and something like that show, to where you learn something every time and laugh the whole way. I really like that show a lot.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious, though, you know, mentioning WWE and your comedy, how much influence at all do they have on where you can go, the stuff you can talk about? Like, do they put their claws in you at all of this?
No, they don't. And one time I was asking, when I was first getting started doing some political stuff, I was asked to go on Kennedy's show on Fox Business, and they said, what is it? I said, well, it's a political talk show, and they talk about any kind of topical events that are going on in the news that day, right then when you get there, and politics. And they got back to me and they said, okay, you can do the show, but you can't talk about politics or what's going on in the news that day. And I said, that's what the show is. And so they made two handlers come with me and watch every word I said and didn't want me. And they said, okay. And then I was supposed to do the panel, which is about 25 minutes of the hour-long show, to where you talk about whatever happened in the news that day, plus politics, whatever. And they ended up my company didn't trust me to do it. And they got it narrowed down to like a 90-second interview where I had to talk about WrestleMania. And we got through this, and I said sorry to Kennedy, and I said to the two handlers, and I went and talked to the boss, and I said, guys, from here on out, I do this show the right way. I have represented this company for 15 years. You guys have sent me to different countries for weeks at a time to do PR work for WWE. I know what to say and what not to say. And otherwise, I'm pretty funny, and I'm pretty skilled at politics. That was my degree, what I got my degree in. This is what I read every day. Let me go do this. And then from here on out, they left me alone and let me do it. So now I go twice a month. I'm on Kennedy's show for half an hour on the panel and just making jokes and talking about whatever. So it's gotten to be that way with comedy too. I used to let them know every time I had a show, and now I just go, guys, anything I say on here is a joke. I don't badmouth the company, and if I do, it's totally in a joking way. And usually, I like any good comic, I'm self-deprecating, and most of the jokes are about me.
All right.
Yeah,
that's my favorite. I run that into the ground on this show. I'm the most self-hating person you'll ever meet. But one thing I don't think I could ever do, we do this show here, and we've been doing this show for about 5 years now. We've been pretty successful with it. I'm very proud of my work and the work of the guys that are on the show with me. We've been working in Cape Championship Wrestling now for going on 2-3 years. I'm a heel over there. I'm a bad guy. you might say, the bad guy of Cape Championship Wrestling.
Wow.
Yeah, not to toot my own horn a little bit. I find it very easy to go out in front of a crowd and entertain, but the thought of doing stand-up is one of the most terrifying things I can think of. Being in front of the crowd, and like you said, there's no one to back you up. It's you and them. Were you terrified of that early on? Is that something you've gotten over? Is it still a thing that you're dealing with every time?
I was terrified of it early on, and like I said a few minutes ago, every day I'm terrified. As the countdown gets close, I'm 2 days away. I'm right in front of me by my phone where I'm talking to you guys right now. It's two notebooks where I'm crossing things out, going over things. I get freaked out, but it's like this weird excitement of like going on a roller coaster, because when you step off the stage and you go, hell yeah, that was awesome, I can't wait to do it again, you forget how freaked out you were. And it's like, man, it happens to anybody. Like, you can mess up and you could stumble on a word or have. I was doing the third time I'd ever done stand up, and I was doing about 15 minutes, and I got to my final joke, and it was the last thing that I had. And just as I went to say the last two words, which was the punchline, the microphone went out. So no one heard the punchline of this 5 minute spread that was my closer. And at the time, I only had a few minutes of material. I had nothing else. And I said the lines, and I could hear that the mic didn't hear it. And everybody was just sitting there staring at me. And it felt like 10 minutes of like a clock ticking, like the telltale heart under the floorboard. And I was staring out at everyone, and I go, oh my God, I have nothing else. I don't know what to do. This is the ending of the show. And I thought of some old story from high school about wrestling. And I said something really quick to them and got a little bit of a chuckle and got the hell out of there. And it's just, even when you have it, like, this is my closer, and you can feel it. You come up there laughing, they're laughing. Here comes this last line. I'm going to get them and we're going to go home, you know? And usually it happened and it didn't happen there. And it could happen to anybody. You can have bad nights, you can have a bad crowd, but with the really cool thing about the WWE universe out there, man, when they come to support, they come to have a good time, they're happy to see you, and I get to throw some jokes at them, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, and they'll let you know either way. But man, you could be a real comic, unlike me trying to be. And I had a girlfriend a long time ago, she was a comic, and she was bouncing around to a couple clubs in New York, and she was doing just a couple of minutes. And I kept listening to her. This was like her second last joke each night, or at each club, was getting a big laugh. And then she was telling a final story, and we bounced to another club. And the third time, she told the thing that was getting big and big laughs all night long, and no one laughed. And I saw her face get a little red. And then she went into, just like I would in a wrestling match, when I'm wrestling somebody and their shoulder goes out and I have to think of a game plan. And I saw her do that and switch to another joke. Got him back, and like a true pro went home. So it's like, you can be awesome and you can have any of the craziest things happen, and it's a blast. And I've learned that I can get up to, about 40, 45 minutes of stand-up comedy, and then I'll do a little crowd work, and we'll probably do a Q&A for about a half an hour. And I've become pretty comfortable with that. I have a handful of bullet points on my notes, but I just kind of walk around and tell some jokes to it and feed off the people there.
Well, when it doesn't go right, because the thing that I'm afraid of most, if I ever get up and if I were to ever do stand up or anything, we have to get up in front of a crowd of the hecklers, especially in comedy. Hecklers are bad. I've seen some great comics go down in flames. My friend Dalton Anthony, who's here on the show with us, not right now, but he's one of our co-hosts. He introduced me to a comedian named Steve Hofstetter, who I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he is just the best when it comes to shutting down hecklers. I know, obviously, in wrestling, the wrestling fans are very vocal, but Have you run into any hecklers when it comes to stand-up comedy? Is it a different feeling when it's that more intimate setting and you can hear them and they can hear you versus a giant screaming crowd? Is that something you've had to deal with?
Oh, yeah, of course, because you can have an intimate crowd. Like, I've had places that only have 100 seats, and you know, you're filled up with them, and it's a small room, and it's sold out, but also it's 100 people. And when one or two people yell something in the middle of a quiet, when everyone's there listening to you, you hear it, everybody hears it. And if it's kind of funny, people might laugh, and then you might have to try and get the crowd back. But I really like that I don't have written down things like, I know I'll say this line to this guy. But if something happens, I've been very lucky my entire life, not just in improv, at life, out at a bar, walking down the street, that if someone says something, I usually get something pretty smart, pretty quick, right away. And that's a huge part of the Q&A that we do, where I just try and think of something on the fly. And think of some kind of zinger or joke. but it can really stop you in your tracks. And if you're not nervous going out there, you're either a seasoned pro who's been doing this for 20 minutes, or you're just an idiot who just goes, oh, this is easy. I made my friends laugh at work. Who cares? and that can be the case. It's just, I have so much respect for, like, just studying comedy. I have 20 or 30 notebooks stacked up in my house over the last 15 years where I just wrote things that get on my nerves all day long. And it's funny to have to go self-deprecate here about yourself when some people were there, like, you're like the champion and you have Mandy Rose around your arm. Like, what the hell do you have to complain about? And you got to go, well, you know, you have to let them know that, you know, I still get mad at Chipotle when someone's taking their time, like they're not sure what's on the menu and things like that. So
right.
It could be anything. Or I always make sure that for part of my show, I'll do a couple of inside baseball, two or three references for some hardcore fans. And then, 20% is for the people who know Rock and John Cena and Brock Lesnar and stuff like that. And then the other 60% is just me talking about, you know, being on Tinder or going to Chipotle or wrestling in grade school. Or, or going to class in college. And, so it's not as easy as it looks because it's hard for me to steal Shawn Michaels' stand up sex. He never did one.
Right. Well, again, want to mention, talking about the comedy, I want to throw this in one more time. This Thursday at the Laughing Gas here in Cape Girardeau, n2ocomedy.com. If you want to pick up tickets and check out the info on it, it's $25 to get into the show, $45 for the special pre-show meet and greet with Dolph. And, when it comes to comedy, I was curious about this because I was wondering what kind of comedy you throw into your shows. I haven't been able to attend one of your shows yet. I'm really hoping that I can come this Thursday. I'm very excited about it. I do have to work. I'm going to try to make it.
What time you got to work, though?
I work till 7. So
you can make it.
I can slide in there, I think. I would love to go because I'm a big – I love comedy. I'm a huge comedy fan. I grew up watching, you know, some of my all-time favorite comics. Eddie Griffin was one of my absolute favorites. John Panette. Yeah, we watched John Panette last night. Who are some of your biggest comedy inspirations?
You know what's really cool? I'm glad you said John Panette. I don't hear that a lot.
Oh, I loved him. Loved him. Miss him really.
That's pretty awesome, man. I like Panette too a lot. That's funny. I wish I wrote some stuff down. I'm a big Bill Burr is really funny to me. Nick Swardson. I think David Spade stand up and his new show is awesome. Brian Regan is one of my absolute favorite comics, and not everybody knows him, but man, that guy is a killer. I think Whitney Cummings, Sarah Silverman are funny.
Silverman.
There's 900,000 of them on Netflix, and I haven't seen too many. Dave Attell, who I just saw 2 weeks ago, he rocked. He had a CD, Skanks for the Memories, in the 90s, and I still put it on to listen to it to go to bed these days.
Well, so speaking of 90s comedy, I have to ask, my favorite all-time, I love sketch comedy. I'm a huge sketch comedy fan. My favorite all-time sketch comedy show, and I just want to know if you're familiar with it, if you'd watched it, Mr. Show with Bob and David.
Love it. I love those guys.
All right, good.
I think those two are awesome and funny. The newer Netflix one was okay, but that original one was pretty wild, man. Big fan.
Oh, I still watch it all the time. I go back to it all the time. There, Bob and David, I think, one of the biggest inspirations on my entertainment, you know, my whole persona. That just dark comedy is my absolute favorite.
Yeah, dark and, like, I don't know, like the fourth wall's removed and they have fun. And do you ever see Odenkirk? He tried his audition for The Office.
I don't think I have, no.
He auditioned to be Michael, and then he didn't get it, but Steve Carell got it. But one day, one of those late seasons, he was like the Michael of another business when Pam was looking to work somewhere. I don't know if you know The Office that well, but it was really, really funny. It was like half Bob Odenkirk and half him playing Michael, which was funny.
I'll have to check that out. I love Bob Odenkirk. I'm a big fan. I know you got to run. We're wrapping it up here in just a couple of minutes. Busy, busy man, as we all are. We're equally as busy. Don't let anyone tell you differently. But Asa Gray, five-star man, who's my usual co-host on the show here, he said, can you please just ask a question for me? He couldn't make it tonight. He works a very, very big boy job with the election stuff. He couldn't make it. But he wanted to know he was wondering about the parallels between touring with comedy and touring and wrestling. And, you know, what kind of a different world is it climbing the ranks in entertainment versus, you know, when you were earning your place on a wrestling card? Like, how different is the world of wrestling and comedy?
I mean, there's a lot of parallels there, which is crazy, because I do things on the outside, like I was telling you earlier, whether going to do something with Comedy Central or auditioning for a movie or something, where it's with WWE, when you're, you know, trying to work up the independent scene, there's all these different territories where you are, and you gotta know someone, you know, to get a tryout somewhere, to be an extra somewhere or something. When it comes to, like, entertainment, at least there's more than two, you know, there's more than two movie companies out there that you can work for, which is great. There's channels out there that I don't even know the name of that have shows on them that I like. So, like, there's a lot of opportunities in professional wrestling right now on the independent scene and professional scene. But it's just like, you know, if you're a comic, and I've seen people get discovered who I just followed on Twitter, and they made jokes, and then the next thing you know, they're writing an episode of Parks and Rec. And
it's
all about, there's always a little bit of luck, but that luck's in there when you're that person that puts in the time every single day. And I am not a pro comic, so I promised myself that I would write one joke or one page or 1 hour every day out. And then a lot of times we're in some crazy travel situation where I can't make that happen. But I always write something down one day or another, or go back and rewrite something. And it has made me that much better. And with WWE, even on Twitter, when I'm making a joke, the first thing that comes to me a lot, you know, is a grown-up type joke. And the first thing I've done now is because I know there's some younger people online reading my stuff because of the show I'm on, that it forces me to go in and take what could be, you know, a rated R joke and make it PG-13 by making it smarter or changing words around or a double entendre. And it has actually made me accidentally a better joke writer. So there's a lot of people out there that are just like, you know what I mean? Like, isn't that funny? And you go, hang on, and you rewrite some words, and it makes it to where you have a bigger audience. And I just remember a thing from a long time ago, because I'm a comedy nerd like you, where it said, if you work blue, you can't do Carson. Mm-hmm. And in your head, everything I have, all my material is, you know, it's up to the club to decide whether you got to be 18 and over or 21 or all ages, because I've done all different kinds of shows. And I can do a show without swearing, without implying anything. But, you know, occasionally I get all fired up and I get a couple double entendre jokes in there. But I've worked, I want to be smarter and better, because I gravitate towards people who are smarter and funnier, who don't have to go to the easy laugh. And I really, really am trying to develop myself that way, too.
Well, you picked the wrong show. We kept it very clean tonight. I'm very proud of us.
It's not Thursday.
It's not Thursday. Thursday is all no rules. Rules are out the window. The show this Thursday, is this an 18 and over show? What are we looking at here?
You know what? I wish I looked at it. I'm pretty sure it's 18 and over. A couple people have called. People will find me on social media, and please feel free to do that. At Eo Ziggler on Twitter. Find me on social media, and if there's a question, I always find a way to make it work. There was someone who was trying to come for 3 months, said they were coming to the show, and then said, oh my God, you know, my daughter's 17, she can't get in. And we worked something out to where they met me behind the club an hour before the show. We talked for 5 minutes, took a picture. I always find a way. If someone really wants to come, find me on social media and we'll make it work one way or another. Because if that was me and I wanted to go see my favorite wrestler and I was 6 months too young or something, I would want something else, you know, something to go above and beyond and help me out too. So I'm down for whatever. The more butts in the seats, the more fun it is, the more people you'll tell when you're.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Last questions. I got like two more and we're going to let you go, Dolphin. Again, once again, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here tonight. Last question from Asa. He wanted to know, do you think your experience in and your success in wrestling prepared you for a comedy career, or is this still like a whole new world, even with all that experience being in front of a crowd?
It's a whole new world, and I'll try and make this quick, but like I told you before, like, I'm excited, and some fans are like, I know Dolph from TV. He puts on awesome matches. And when I'm walking out there, I'm someone who's not 15 years into comedy. I'm 15 sets into comedy, and you want to know what works and what doesn't. So whenever I get a chance, I tuck all my hair up into my hat, and I wear it down low, and I'm Nick at the open mic in Silver Lake in the back room of a coffee shop, seeing if a joke works or not. Right. Because a lot of times I'm very lucky to have all that support from the fans, but they'll be laughing and applauding whether you're funny or not. They're just happy to see you. So you've got to find out what works. And So it's kind of a double-edged sword because you want to give them a great show, but you also want it to work. You want it to be good. So sometimes the fans are laughing at my WWE joke. Sometimes they're laughing at me making fun of myself, or they're laughing at me dating, and then I just run off with that and feed off them. It's just like WWE. When you find something that works or whatever it is that night, you would jump on it and go with it, and you better be prepared. That's why I got those 20 notebooks that I cram and get everything ready for, just so I got something in my back pocket. And ooh, they're really liking me making fun of Brock Lesnar tonight. I hope I got two more jokes about him and try and find him.
All right. Last question here. Your brother Ryan's going to be there with you this Thursday. He's hosting. You're both going to be up there. Actually, guys, it's a two-part question. One, I'm curious, you guys similar style of comedy? Are you polar opposites when it comes to your performances? And lastly, what should people expect from you this Thursday if they've never been to a Dolph Ziggler comedy show before?
First and foremost, my brother, who goes by Riley Pierce when he wrestles on the team these days still, he's really into characters and Upright Citizens Brigade comedy and doing improv. So he usually does a character or two and hosts the show as a straight man. So he just, comes out and hosts as Briley, but also gets into some really cool character work. But when we start going back and forth, during the Q&A, roasting each other and having some fun, him and I have been on the same wavelength with comedy for a really, really long time. And we've been into stuff like whether it was the Upright Citizens Brigade TV show or going to shows or going to improv shows. We both prefer smart over, easy. And also we are huge Simpsons fans. So, him right and on. Me send Simpsons clips to each other every single day. It's so funny. But also, that's a blast. Having him with me is fun because then we can feed off each other because we've been screwing with our parents for the last 35 years. So that's always a blast. But when it gets to the show, Ryan will do some character stuff. He's really funny. We can both do some improv, different things. But when I get out there, I'm looking to do a genuine stand-up comedy set that has to do with wrestling, that has to do with college wrestling, that has to do with dating and going out and everything you can imagine. And at the end of the night, I bust my butt to make sure everyone's laughing. And then we finish the night with a live after deal Q&A, and we go back and forth. And my brother and I will roast each other. We'll bust each other's chops, and we'll have a blast answering your questions. As long as everyone puts their cell phones down, I can give you the real answers, and they usually tend to be funnier than any real thing you can hear anywhere else.
Well, that sounds awesome. Dolph, one last time for our fans out there and for fans, our CCW fans, our WWE fans, fans of comedy in general, Dolph Ziggler and his brother, this Thursday, March 12th, the Laughing Gas Comedy Club here in Cape Girardeau, one night only event, $25, get you the ticket in to see some fantastic comedy. We highly recommend springing for the $45 meet and greet with Dolph for that. That'll take place before the show in the N2O Lounge. It sounds like an absolute blast, and we want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and talking about it with us.
You got it. Thanks for having me, guys. I'll see you guys out there.
Yeah, and next time you're in town, I do want to give a quick plug here. Our own show, CCW, March 21st, we're in Delta, Missouri. Our tickets at capewrestling.com. Anytime you want to stop by and cause some trouble or whatever you want to do, I'll make sure you get the House 100 VIP treatment. You have my word.
I love it. Same here.
All right. Thank you, Dolph, so much, man. You have a good night. We'll see you on Thursday.
Thanks a lot, brother. I appreciate it.
No problem, sir. All right. And that was Dolph Ziggler here on the show tonight. Went about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Considering me and him had been texting each other earlier today, and we said, we'll do 20. So my fear is that I'm about to get a text from Dolph Ziggler saying, you son of a bitch. We said 20. You took me for a 43-minute ride that I'll never get my time back. And hopefully the message will actually say, hey, that was fantastic. That's probably the best interview I've ever done in my life. You're clearly the best host I've ever worked with. Would you like to be my personal friend? Let's talk about The Simpsons and Mr. Show with Bob and David. Do you think that will happen?
Well, considering his brother is hosting things
I host the host.
You host the host?
There's so his brother is the host, and Dolph is the show off.
Okay.
I'm the host of the host. So I introduce the host who introduced the show. You don't understand comedy. Okay. That's what it is. You don't understand comedy. You're not
That's
like
all it is.
You're not like my good friend Dolph and I, where we both understand comedy. All right, I want to once again thank Dolph Ziggler for coming on the show tonight. That was absolutely cool. Spent a lot more time with us than we agreed on. I apologize, Dolph. But the man can go. The man can go, and I thought it was a fantastic show. I want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We're going to cut it a little bit early because technically we weren't even supposed to do a show tonight.
Yeah.
We were taking tonight off, and then, you know, I got the call from Jason Wells saying, hey, Dolph's interested in doing the show. Do you want to do it? And are you going to say no to Dolph Ziggler?
No.
Exactly. So last minute threw this together. I thought it went very, very well. We will be back tomorrow, though, with Pro Wrestling Unscripted, except for Allie, who has to work. So she'll be joining late, if at all. But yeah. Myself and Asa will be here. Will Dalton be? I don't know. Nobody knows anymore. Podzilla 1985 is a dying brand. Or this is the night that it's revitalized and now we're being catapulted into the stratosphere. I don't know. I don't care anymore.
You don't care?
I'm going to drink this fake moulatte. I'm going to go home and play World of Warcraft. So thank you guys for tuning in. And if you're tuning in to us for the first time, thanks for joining us, and hopefully you'll come back. We very much enjoyed our time with Dolph Ziggler. Tomorrow, yes. Pro Wrestling Unscripted, we're going to be talking about Elimination Chamber. We're going to be talking about all the hottest news and notes Dolph of the Ziggler. Week. And we're going to be talking about Dolph Ziggler, because we'll be on Cloud 9 for a couple of days after that interview. Until then, for myself, for Ali Hebert, for Podzilla 1985, thank you guys so much. Want to remind you to head over to podzilla1985.com. This is your first time. You want to catch up on some of the old episodes. We do a lot of great content, 4 shows a week, everything from politics to wrestling, video games, pop culture, whatever.
If you are here because of Dolph Ziggler and you're a fan of wrestling, we do have a couple of cool interviews you might want to check out. Jeff Hardy,
Road Warrior Animal, yep. Jerry Lynn, Austin yep. Lane, Billy Hills. I mean, we've had a smorgasbord of professional talent come through here, and we couldn't be happier and more proud of what we do here. You can also catch us on Spotify, iTunes. We're all over the place. Podzilla 1985. Thank you guys once again. We'll see you tomorrow for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Once again, Dolph, thank you. Make sure you check him out this Thursday, March 12th, at the Laughing Gas Comedy Club here in Cape Girardeau. Get your tickets now at n2ocomedy.com, and I'm sure there will be some at the door unless it sells out. Get them early. Thank you, guys. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.